This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedure Subteam Track 2 Legal Regulatory Issue Call held on Thursday, the 18th of August, 2016. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call as we have quite a few participants. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room only. If you're only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourself be known now?
John Nevitz, only on audio.
Thank you, John. Hearing no more names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn it back over to Jeff Newman. Please begin.
Thank you very much. This is Jeff Newman. Welcome to Work Track 2 call, Legal Regulatory. I plan on chairing just this first call, and then hopefully by the time we have our next meeting, we will have one or two co-chairs, or however we decide as a group to organize ourselves. I'm looking forward to this group. I think there's a lot of interesting issues that we're going to tackle here, and very much look forward to actually getting to the substance and getting some of the stuff done. So with that said, we'll start with, and I don't know if we have the PowerPoint we can put up on the screen, but as far as the agenda, we'll just do introductions first, then talk about the leadership, meeting schedule, and then go through the work items that we're responsible for. And if there's any other business and we have time, feel free to add something to the agenda. And I'm just waiting for this to come up. And while it does, if you could give everyone the ability to scroll through as well, that might help. So with the, I'll just start on the introductions while this is going on here, while we're getting the slides up. So just a note about the participants. We've had 32 people sign up for the group as active participants and 15 observers, a fairly decent distribution. If you go to the fourth slide, I think it is. Does everyone have control? Can they get through?
This is Carrie, and yes, sync is on. Everyone can scroll themselves.
Okay, cool. I don't know if I'm the only one that's not able to scroll. Okay, I can do it. There you go. So there's 7 members from the registry stakeholder group, 3 from the non-commercial stakeholder group. There's 8 from the IPC, 2 from the registrar stakeholder group, 2 from the BC, 2 from that are, I want to be careful on how I say this, that are associated with the GAC, but they're not here as representatives of the GAC. Hopefully I got that right. And then 8 people, including myself, that have indicated were either an individual or other. It seems like Alexander Schubert is having an issue not hearing anything. I'm hoping others can hear what's going on. I think if someone could re-put up the PowerPoint slides as a for some reason it's on play mode and it's going through fairly quickly, these slides. Is there a way just to put it up and maybe take it down and put it up as a PDF so people can scroll through? I don't know if that's the issue. Okay, so just wanted to give a breakdown of the group and to show that, you know, we do have representatives. You know, what's not here, I think the people who are in the ALAC may have indicated that they are individuals, because I know we have Cheryl here. And I know there are others participating, so they may have just put themselves down as an individual participating. Oh, Aubrey's saying I'm soft spoken, so I'll try to speak up a little bit here. Usually I'm never accused of being soft spoken. Okay, so if we go to, and I'm having difficulty on the main one, going to different slides here. But if we go to the sixth slide, which is on leadership, okay, so the just wanted to go through the responsibilities of the leaders of the group. That's in the agenda as well. It's for coordinating the efforts. I'm seeing as I was reading through it, obviously coordinating the efforts with the full working group leadership. That's Avery and I that are the co-chairs of the full group. It's also communicating the status of the sub-team with the rest of the leadership team, which is comprised or will be comprised of all of the chairs, co-chairs of or co-leaders of the work tracks, as well as Avery and myself, to make sure that we are all synced on the work that's going on and make sure we're not overlapping on any work or on any outreach or activities that we plan on doing, to work with ICANN staff to make sure that work is getting done and to reporting back when there's an issue. And then, of course, in that leadership role, a leader is expected to act neutrally on the issues and not to necessarily advocate for a one position unless they clearly indicate that they are advocating on their own behalf or on behalf of their employer and not as the leader of the group. So with that said, there were two people so far, if you go to the next slide, that have volunteered to take on the leadership role of this group. If you can go to slide 7, oh, everyone's got control, good, so they can do it themselves. There, Phil Buckingham, who is indicated as he's an individual, has volunteered along with Michael Fleming, who is listed as intellectual property constituency member. Not to put them on the spot, but I will in a minute or so if they could. I'm going to see if there's any other volunteers, but see if both Phil and Michael can just say a couple words about themselves and their interest in this group and why they're interested in serving as a leader. And while they're thinking about that, before I put them on the spot, is there anyone else that is interested in being considered as a leader or co-leader for this group? Okay, there's silence. So why don't we just go in alphabetical order by last name? So, Phil, if you are on the phone, I know you were typing. If you're on the phone, hopefully, can you just say a couple words, just introduce yourself, the kind of work you do, what your interest is in this area, and why you'd like to be one of the leaders? Ah, he's only on audio. Is there any way we can call out to Phil or... All right, while people investigate that, Michael, are you on the line?
Hello, can you hear me? Hello?
Michael, I think you're very soft. Okay, Michael's calling in, so we just... take a little break. Again, issue a call out to see if there's anyone else that's interested in this. So while we work on getting Michael and Phil on the line, I probably should have let you know beforehand that I would ask to you all to say a word or two. But don't worry, I won't ask you to take over the call after this, so that's okay. Alexander Schubert is now hearing okay. Michael, when you come on the line, just let me know. Or Phil. Just for everyone, they're not they're hearing silence, but it's not because of an issue. We're just waiting for Avery puts up a good question here. She says, is there a preference for a single leader or co-leaders? I was I think that's a very relevant question. We may want to hear from the two first just to see if that helps in us making a decision. Michael or Phil, are you guys on yet? All right, let me let's jump to the next topic while we wait for them to come on. We'll talk about scheduling and then come back to the leadership. So with scheduling, we have right now we can one of the first items will be to schedule to complete a work plan, and with the work plan, that will also show us the prioritization of work, and the leaders will work with the working group to help develop that initial work plan for you all to comment on. And after we develop that work plan, we obviously need to fulfill that work plan, which means that we can schedule calls either once a week, once every 2 weeks, or whatever the work track teams feel need to be done in order to get the work completed on time. We have three, well, really mostly two streams of calling streams or calling times where we are sometimes safe. Given the number of working group calls every week and PDP calls, and especially the CCWG9 work streams that have been established for working group or for work stream two, there are limited time slots that we can have. And what we're trying to do is to stay within the 1500 UTC time, the 2000 UTC time, and then we do have another available one at 0300 UTC, which I know is very early for Europeans, late for North Americans, but a good time for Asia Pacific, Australia area. So, you know, we do have those extra, we do have those time slots that we can do calls on. But again, it's pretty complicated to schedule given all of the other work streams going on, the PDPs, and, you know, who is and genus of council calls, et cetera. So, you know, we'll work on looking at the best times to have those calls, but we do need to pick whether we're going to meet every week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and obviously I'd like the leadership of the work team to help be involved in those decisions, and I don't know if people have a preference one way or the other, but when we go through the work team, or sorry, the work track items, you'll see there are a lot of fairly complicated issues that have a lot of sub-issues within them, so we may need to meet once a week at some point. For this first month, for August, we're just going to meet once and then start the regular calls in September so that we can get all the work tracks kicked off and on a certain schedule. So we will not have a work track call next week or the week after, but we will have one the week after that, so in 3 weeks. So with that, let me see if there are any questions on scheduling and also check to see if Michael or Phil have been able to get on the line. Michael Fleming, are you on the line?
And this is Carrie from staff. I sent directions in the Adobe Connect chat, how to activate your mic or how to join via telephone. Or you can also send me a private chat with your telephone number and I can dial out to you.
Okay. Any, Michael says again, he's just about to call in. So are there any questions on before we have Michael call in or before we go to the actual work track items, and this is just the first cut of the work track items that you'll see on the slides. I believe it's 11 and 12, but Phil is typing right now. We have a quiet group. I don't know if it's just early in the day for some, late in the day for others. I know it's late for Europeans. All right, Phil's asking for a call out to the in the UK. Terry, do you see that?
I certainly do. Phil, I sent you a private chat. If you could please provide me your phone number on that private chat.
Hello, Jeff.
Yes. Is that Michael?
Yes, perfect. I'm glad everyone can hear me.
Great. Thanks, Michael. If you could just introduce yourself, your role, your interest in the group, and interest in being one of the leader or one of the leaders.
Thank you. Yes, my name is Michael Fleming. There are probably very few that know me. I've been a rather quiet member over the member of the ICANN community over the past few years, but my interest in co-chairing this group is because I think that it's a very interesting topic, especially for looking at the subsequent procedures. And my own affiliation is with GMO Breads Consulting. We're a IP consultancy here in Japan, mainly in areas of domain names and trademarks, but my personal role is looking at brand TLD registry support as well as registrar services. So with that, I also have a lot of experience in consulting on TMCH and RPM issues, and I think this sub-working group specifically falls right up my alley. So being my first time, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of questions and a lot of things I need to learn, but I know that there's a lot of well-experienced and well-knowledgeable members in this group, so I feel that I can rely on others for support and be able to gather the advice that I need when required I need to move forward. So that is a small introduction, and I look forward to working with everyone.
Thanks, Michael. This is Jeff Newman again. Are there any questions for Michael at this point? And just while I wait, Michael, you certainly have the support of Aubrey and I whenever you need it, plus the other leaders of the other work tracks, and we will do our best. It seems like I'm quiet again. I'll put my mouth right next to the phone now. Michael, you'll have our support and Aubrey's support, and thank you for volunteering. I think it's always good to dive right in. So thank you for that. Let's see, is Phil on the phone?
And it's Karen dialing out to him now. One moment.
Okay, thanks. And everyone, Emily has posted Michael's statement of interest, link to the statement of interest.
Thank you. Go ahead.
No, you go. Michael, take the floor. Sure.
Perhaps I should mention, I am within the APAC here, and it's about 5 a.m. right in Japan right now. So for a lot of meetings, I know that a lot of the times are probably more favorable to Europe or or North America, but I may ask occasionally to have meetings, maybe perhaps a little bit earlier dead night hours rather than the early bird hours of the day. But still, I hope not to push the meeting time to my own preference too much. So,
thanks, Michael. You have an enthusiastic hooray from Heather. we certainly need to be cognizant of that, and it's only fair that we all kind of share the burden. So I think That's an excellent point, and I'm certainly willing to get up or stay up late or get up early to be on calls as well. Phil, are you on? It says you're on audio.
Hi, Jeff. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Phil. Great.
Sorry about that. Hold on.
That's okay.
I think I'm probably about the only European on this call, aren't I?
Well, Phil, why don't you introduce yourself to the group? I know you. I've known you for a number of years. Why don't you introduce yourself to the group?
Yeah, I'm going down the list. I think. Sorry.
And so, just as a reminder, you may just need to turn down your computer speaker.
Sorry, I can't even hear you. Turn down my.
Your speakers, computer speakers.
This is certainly not working.
Okay. Can everybody hear me, or was I taken off?
Are you?
Okay. I had muted myself, so I knew that wasn't me. is Phil still on the line? Okay, it seems like we lost Phil. What I'm going to do is, in the interest of time, is let's move on to what I'll do is we'll finish this conversation on the list. I'm looking at the chat, trying not to laugh too hard because I think there's some good comments there. I just want to see that come up in the transcript just to see how that's going to be interpreted. With that said, let's move on to – so what we'll do is we'll have – Phil, you're back on audio?
Yeah. Hi, Jeff. Sorry. Really sorry about all this. I'm back on and there's not that terrible feedback, so I can – I can speak very briefly. Shall I go ahead? Hello?
Yep, you're good.
Oh, right,
yeah.
Okay. Very, very interesting. Basically, I think a lot of people know me on the call here. I'm going down the list. So a lot of people know my background and how I've been heavily involved in this whole process for the last 6-7 years, I think now. So why I sort of put my name forward was I was looking down the different work tracks and what skill sets I've got that's been really relevant to, the issues involved behind a number of them. And I think, with my financial background, as some of you know, I did a lot of work on the financial valuations in the early stages back in 2012. So I've got a lot of understanding behind the COI and the LOC issues, which is obviously in work track two, obviously all the compliance audit issues as well. So that's why I sort of put my name forward, because I think I can contribute a lot in those areas and deal with the issues that the problems that arose from it. But clearly, as I said on the chat, I would really like to do this with somebody who's got a legal background because I'm not really knowledgeable about the issues behind the TMCH, which is obviously part of the work track two. So Michael putting his name forward, that would be great. I'd love to work with him on that.
Great. Thank you, Phil. This is Jeff Newman again. Are there any questions for Phil? Sorry for my phone ringing in the background. Okay, any questions? I'll keep it open while my phone continues to ring. Okay, what I would suggest then, I think that Okay, Michael is just pointing out that he is not an attorney either. So let me just throw it out to the group. There are a bunch of legal issues in here. There are a bunch of attorneys. I'm not sure it necessarily needs to be a requirement that one of the leaders be an attorney, but is there anyone that has a strong view on this one way or the other of whether we should have an attorney as one of the leads? I'm just paying attention to the chat here. Okay, Robert from Pillsbury says he's an attorney, but okay with the co-leaders not being attorneys. And then Kevin from GoDaddy said if there's enough of us legal birds on the group, I don't think the leaders need to be. So I actually agree with that. I think that that's the right way to go. And there's a lot of Susan Payne in the transcript, there's a lot of lawyers here, Phil Morano. So Phil Buckingham and Michael Fleming, I would propose that you both, I'll propose to the group, this work track, that you both be put forward as co-leaders of the group, and we'll wait for people to agree or disagree. So from a show of hands or chat or speaking, can I put their names forward as co-leaders of the group? I'm seeing a bunch of agreement and check marks. So congratulations, or I'm sorry, either way, for Michael, Fleming, and Phil. Don't worry, I will not ask you both to take over on this call, but we will be in touch with you shortly after this to get you on the leadership list and then to have you ready to take over for the next call. Great. Thank you again.
Okay, Jeff. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Phil. Thanks again, Michael. Let's go to the track items in slide 11 to jump ahead here. So these are the items that, starting on track 11, that we have some. These items initially came from a discussion group that was chartered by the council. That discussion group then had an output of these issues, and that was put into the issue report, the preliminary and final issue report of this PDP. And these are some of the issues that were delineated during that process. We also went over the work track items several times during the full working group calls. But as things come up, we can always add other items in here or take some items out if we think that the status quo is okay with that. Really, it's up to the group to go ahead and decide. So with that, the first issue that we will – well, again, this is not in priority order or in the order in which we will necessarily address these issues. These are pretty much in a random order. So the first group of issues – on here are around reserve names, the reserve names list, and the mechanism for releasing reserve names. Interestingly, the two-letter reserve list is still not completely finalized. As we know, there's an ongoing process that is out for comment on releasing some of the last two-letter character codes. So that's still has not been finalized in the round of 2012, but we have the chance to devise the process for the next opening, and that may be just the same thing as what goes on now, or it may be something completely different. The three letters have been a discussion within the GAC, I know, as to being required to reserve three letters in the future, so that's a discussion that needs to be had. Geographic names has been an issue that needs to be addressed. The 100 promotional names that are provided for in the agreement, that is reserve names issue. Sunrise priority, so in dealing with the mechanism for release, there was clarity that was, or some may say a lack of clarity, but there was certainly I don't even want to say policy, or even there was certainly contractual provisions that came out governing when someone wanted to do something like a qualified launch program where they wanted to release some names to the public before sunrise, and the rules that they had to go through if they wanted to release those names. So that's all part of this category, as well as the subject of premium names and reserving names for premium purposes. So all of that is in this general area. Another area is on the big area that we'll tackle is the base registry agreement. Right now there's one agreement for all with a specification for community TLDs, a specification for brand TLDs, and some provisions sprinkled throughout on for intergovernmental organizations. But other than that, there are no differences between the agreements, and certainly no amendments that were, to my knowledge, substantive amendments that were accepted by ICANN in the registry agreements. So the question is, you know, now that we've kind of gone through the issue of potentially differentiation between categories, do we still want a one-size-fits-all agreement? Do we want to make a much more simple brand agreement? Do we want to have a different agreement for communities? These are all issues we need to talk about. And then, of course, once we resolve that, is to talk about, well, how does that relate to the now over 1,500 over 1,300 TLDs that will be in the route by the time we will launch the next opening. So what is the relationship? Do the legacy TLDs just have differential terms, or do we provide some mechanism for the legacy TLDs to get onto the new contract, those types of things? PICs are a legal issue because they are addressed in the contract. So was that the right way to implement the restrictions or the advice from the GAC? Was that is there a better way to do that, or can we fix? Is there anything to fix in this process with the PICs? And you know, are there any changes we want to make? Going on to the next slide, the registrant protections. So there are a number of items that were identified by ICANN staff as being specific registrant protections, things like the EBRO, that's the Emergency Backend Registry Operator, the Letter of Credit, or COI, actually, as it was called, as Phil mentioned a little bit earlier. DNSSEC was listed as a registrant protection. Are these still needed, particularly with the COI? Did it serve its purpose? Are there better ways to accomplish the goal than the COI? Do we need the EBRO? I see people certainly have opinions on it, the COI. But these are things that we need to talk about. So if we did get rid of the COI, is there anything that could take its place? I know that initial discussions back when we were talking about the COI were things like performance bonds, which are much easier to implement than COIs, but they have their own disadvantages as well. Contractual compliance. Now, what's not in this, I'll start with that part. We're not talking about the role of contractual compliance, but are there enough tools within the agreement that give contractual compliance the ability to enforce the contract? What issues has contract compliance had in interpreting certain provisions of the contract? Are there provisions that they would like to see be clarified because they've been having a difficult time with that? There's, of course, already an effort to talk about Spec 11.3, Section 3B, which everyone clearly believes was left with a lack of detail. And so right now there are several different groups talking about what to do about that. So to coordinate with those discussions may be useful. A big issue, and anyone please feel free to raise your hand if you want to get in the chat, ask some clarification questions. I see there's some good chat going on. Kurt brings up a good point about when you take up the issue of categories, you know, how many categories and, you know, the effort involved in doing, if you came up with 10 categories, 10 different agreements would be a considerable amount of effort. One issue that I know Kurt remembers well, because I was certainly pretty vocal, as were others on this call, in the issue of registry-registrar separation. So a number of things were, rules were decided on how we should go about with the registry-registrar separation of, you know, what affiliated parties had to do. In order to, there's a code of conduct, of course. There's the obligation to not discriminate against any particular registrar or in favor of any particular registrar. There's specification 13, which waives some of those requirements. So these are items in here. Sorry, I'm reading Mike Rodebog's. Mike is saying, I'm very confused about the apparent overlap of many of these topics with the subsequent rounds PDP. Mike, this is the subsequent rounds PDP.
Oh my God.
This is narrowing it down. So there should not be duplication, because this is the sub-team that's working on these particular issues, and then we'll present those issues to the larger group. Okay, so the question is then how do we prevent duplication amongst the different work teams? And that's why we have leadership. All of these items here are slotted for this particular work track. If everyone else can mute the phone. All right, are you still hearing an echo? No, good. So the leaders, one of the jobs of the leaders is to be sure, to make sure that we are not working on overlapping subjects. So we understand that some of these may be reliant on other items that other work tracks are working on, but we will work our best to make sure that there is no duplication. The contract provides that every registry must launch within a year after the contract is signed. There are some exceptions built in, but essentially you have to launch within a year. Well, you know, is that something we should keep? Is it necessary? What does launch mean? Those are items that this group may want to leave the way it is, or may want to think about. The second level rights protection mechanisms. Now here, our role is interesting because there is a complete other PDP that's going on right now on rights protection mechanisms. Many of you are part of that. This group will not be readdressing what that group is working on, but rather will be incorporating the work that PDP is doing into our work. So to the extent that changes are made to the rights protection mechanisms by the RPM working group, we'll have to make sure that that's reflected in the legal agreements. We'll have to make sure we'll have to think about how that may or may not implicate other aspects, legal and regulatory aspects. So we're not going to be working on the URS or the Trademark Clearinghouse, but to the extent that changes in the policy from those groups impact the agreement and the legal regulatory environment, we'll have to consider those changes in that light. I hope that makes sense, and I'm not seeing much in the way of comments on that, but that's what I view our job is on those. The safeguards. We talked a little bit about GAC advice and the resulting picks. There is still GAC advice out there that and board NGPC decisions that were made for the 2012 round, which have never been through a bottom-up multi-stakeholder process. We will likely want to go through those and develop policy on those based on the multi-stakeholder model. So that may mean doing things differently than the NGPC has done in this last round, or it may be codifying what they've done into the policy if we think that that's the right way to handle those situations. Remember, a lot of the decisions the NGPC made was because there was no existing policy, and there have also been a couple of items that have been referred to this working group, and particularly this work track by the ICANN board that we will need to make sure that we address. Seeing no questions, going on to the next one, we have the issue of the IGO, INGO protections. Now, a lot of that work, and Phil Corwin, if he's still on the line, is one of the chairs of one of the groups that's working on those issues. So we are not going to duplicate those efforts, but we will be incorporating the results of those efforts into our work, again, so as to not duplicate. And then the two last I have on here, the issue of closed generic or exclusive use TLDs. Remember, that was a decision, not a policy decision, but that was a decision by the NGPC. The ICANN board essentially saying that for this 2012 round, we would not allow generic words to be used by one registrant or exclusively used by one registrant. And so there were provisions written into the contract in Specification 11 that prohibits exclusive use TLDs. We need to address that through this working group as to whether we want that prohibition to continue or whether we think that in certain circumstances they should be allowed. So that's something that we need to address through this group. And finally, what we have on here, which has been referred to us from the RPM working group, are the issues of the PIC DRP and the RR DRP. So that's the PIC dispute resolution policy and the restrictions resolution dispute policy, I think is what those stand for. So those were items that initially the RPM working group had thought may have been for them, but they decided that that was better because they did not relate to the, quote, legal rights of others. They decided to kick that over to us. So that's just kind of a quick walkthrough of a lot of the issues we'll need to walk through to address. Are there any other issues or any questions on what's up here? Okay, and then the last item I would draw your attention to is that there's been a letter that's gone to the council, the GNSO council from the ICANN board, and I'm paraphrasing it, so Heather and or anyone else if you think I'm too loosely paraphrasing it, but I did send it around to the full working group. It talks about whether there are any items of priority that we believe, we the community believe, need to be addressed before in a subsequent window or round, or are there things that may take a longer time to work through, but that should not hold up another application window or round. That has not yet been referred to our working group. That's with the council at this point. Avery and I have sent a letter to the council, or to Paul McGrady, who is our council liaison to the working group, to address this issue with the council to see if they want to kick that issue over to us, that letter over to us for our input. But if that does come to us, we may be asked to think about those issues or these issues that are up on the screen in light of whether some of these could be addressed, could wait to be addressed in the longer term, or that have to be addressed before we launch another application window. So that's something that we may get. As Heather notes on the chat, it is a slow month from the council because it's August, so we may see that in September. Avri has posted on the chat, one of the questions that are part of consideration in responding to the board's letter is the degree to which the council or the full sub-pro working group believes that the PDP needs to have segment recommendations. So, Avri, do you want to expand on that? I can give my own interpretation of that, but do you want to weigh in?
Sure. This is Avri speaking. Yeah, one of the considerations that, you know, will require a decision either by the council or by this team is normally there's one set of final recommendations. Whenever a PDP outcome has been done in stages, there has been a decision and hopefully an agreement between the council and the working group on actually segmenting it. We know of various PDPs that had, you know, first phase, second phase, third phase, and put different things in them. And so at the moment, we've been given a charter that has us making a final set of recommendations once all is said and done. In order to comply to what I understand is the drive in the board's letter, in Steve's letter, is that some of the recommendations could indeed come out earlier that would enable a subsequent procedure to start before all the other issues had been fully resolved. So that fundamental difference between everything is done at the same time versus we are staging the deliverables is a decision that needs to be looked at and made. Thanks.
Thanks, Aubrey. This is Jeff Newman again. That's a good point. So I assume that the council will either have a discussion or refer that discussion to us. So, or us being the full subpro group. But I do agree with your point that there needs to be some agreement that amongst the community that we can segment these into different phases. Any other questions? So there's a lot of work. If Emily is still on, if she could just show that Gantt chart. I don't know if she's still on, but we do have a tentative work plan as far as overall schedule, which we showed to the overall group. So there are a lot of items, and while the work plan has us working through 2017, it's really not as much time as we necessarily think. If you scroll down into on this Gantt chart, that's now showing to track two. There are some tentative timelines in there. We, being the group, will need to, the leaders will first look at this, and then the group will talk about these timelines, see if they are realistic, and then work on also building out these individual items into more discrete tasks to know these are the subjects we'll talk about during these meetings, and these are the issues and topics that we'll do at different times. So this is just kind of the initial stab that some of us did very early on. But it shows that, yes, we do have some things coming up that we will need to get working on. But so we hope to – I'm not showing you this so that you can commit to these dates, but more to just know that we're going to be putting together this type of chart with more definitive dates and keep working towards those. And as Avri says in the chat, this group may decide to reprioritize the different issues and therefore would change those dates. So But we want to try as best we can to stick to the schedule so that we are not dragging this out for several years. Any questions? Okay, well, I did all the talking, or most of the talking on this call, but I can guarantee you that's not going to happen for the next call. So keep on the lookout for emails from us or from Phil and Michael Fleming. So to our next call, we're going to, like I said, try to keep it to the three different windows that we talked about. And so expect the first one to be in September. But please also keep your eye on emails for any questions. All right. We'll give everyone 8 or 9 minutes back on their day. Thank you very much.
Once again, the meeting has been adjourned.
Thank you, everybody. Bye.
Thank you very much for joining.